Candle-making jokes aside, times are really tough for a lot of Americans, particularly single parents. Producer Erin Mishkin brings us one single mother's personal account of how she's trying to create a better life for her two young children.
Very, very busy morning. We started our day at 5:45 this morning. What was I doing?
Hello, my name is Amy Jo. I'm a single mother. Shawnee's 3, Joshua's 15 months old. They have me 24/7. I eat sleep when they let me. It's gut-wrenching, hair-pulling, fun-filled adventure. You want to come?
I usually wear a little bit of eyeliner in the morning because I have very small eyes, and I hate them. So I just put some eyeliner on. Ah, beautiful. Where's my tiara? I need my tiara to go to work and clean my house.
I clean houses for a living right now. Cleaning houses offers me a lot of flexibility, which I need. I'm currently residing in a 3-bedroom apartment that I acquired about 1.5 years ago. There you go, baby. Do I got to turn it on somehow?
Yeah.
It's not turning on, honey. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to pick up some batteries tomorrow. That's another $2.
Oh, my God.
I think I was in Portland maybe almost 2 years when I met Shawnee and Joshua's father on a Friday night at one of the bars that I had went to, and completely missed that letter L on his forehead. He was a heavy, heavy drinker, and I just found myself drinking right along with him. You know, he's a I can't make it to work today drinker, lost my job again today drinker.
I look at that little boy and I'm like, God, your father is such a prick. He's a thief, he's a liar, he's 36, he has nothing. There's no way in hell I'm gonna let you grow up to be like that. I'm going to teach him that, you know, women are to be treated like, you know, queens. You know, and if you don't like her, just say I'm out of here. But his father couldn't get out of there till he put his fist through the wall and or opened up the fridge and emptied it out, followed by some choice words. He could never just leave. It had to be a grand exit, you know.
You're gonna wear your sneakers today. No, you're not wearing your boots. No.
When she was 18 months old, I left him to get sobriety, to get a peace of mind, to build back up my self-esteem, my self-worth. I checked myself into Crossroads, a facility for down-and-out women. It took me to be crying in a hotel room with my daughter on Route 1 with nothing. And that's the only place I had to go. And for 2 weeks, I stayed in that hotel room waiting to get into Crossroads. Then they came and they picked me up. That day I will never, ever forget. But it only was like a 40-minute ride. I remember I ripped off every fingernail that I had. I just wanted to jump out at every red light. But then every now and then I'd hear my daughter in the back seat. The lady that was driving me reached over with her hand and she put her hand on my hand and she said, "You're doing the right thing." And I kind of smiled and I nodded and she goes, "You are." She goes, "You're making a choice of a lifetime for you and your daughter."
Got a cell phone.
And I made a promise to my daughter that we were going to do this. You know, this is not our life. This is a stepping stone to our life. And if he's not going to help me give it to you, by God, I'm going to give it to you.
Ponytail is looking good. I leave in every morning and I smell like a rose. And then I come home, I smell like a bucket of bleach. Kids are fed, bathed. It's my favorite time of night.
Good job, Shawnee. Do the tops. She, unless I tell her, will never know what she did for me. That's quite spectacular for somebody who's, what is she, like a little over a foot tall? To make such an impact.
Say goodnight.
Good night, Josh.
I do cry. From time to time. I have a 3-year-old that I talk to all the time, and all I say is, please put that down. Please get out of that. Please don't do that. So I don't have much adult conversation. I don't have anybody to tell me, well, I do now. My daughter says she loves me all the time, which is great. But, you know, I find myself yearning for that companionship, somebody to hold me and, you know, maybe bring me flowers. And that's the only thing I want, is a little more financial security right now. Everything's tight, right down to the dollar, you know. I got 30 hours in last week, and that hurts. That's $300, and it's not enough. This is the breezeway to my apartment. I've got my two white chairs and my, like, wicker table, just big enough for, you know, a couple cups of coffee and an ashtray. And then I surrounded the ceiling with white Christmas lights. It's just so serene and so peaceful. It's just amazing just how much that does for me. It really is, because at one point in my life was so chaotic, bouncing around, and it helps me count my blessings and keeps me strong. So we're here. We're gonna grow. This is just a stepping stone. You know, I'm not done yet. What, honey? You ready for your vitamin? Okay, I'm coming in.
Our story was produced by Aaron Mishkin of the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies, and the story came to us from the NPR series Hearing Voices.